PM, we'll start this Board of Finance meeting.
Recording in progress.
Okay, thank you. Call to order, public part. I do not have any communications with the public, and I know, Bill, you sent an email saying this morning you don't have one.
None.
Okay, none. All right, so we'll close the public, and we'll go right into our annual report for the town. We'll start off with highlights, page two. Get back to page two.
Thank you, Ken. Share my screen, Bob.
Yeah, I made your call. You should be able to. Yeah, it says Bill Cohos.
Got it. Okay.
There you go.
Looking here, okay, financial highlights. Page two of the packet, I'll start with the preliminary end of year 2022 revenues, coming in at 100.3% of budgeted. Tax collections, which were budgeted 99%, came in at 99.8% budgeted. Interest income, better than trended for the most part of the year, picked up at the very end, and we came in at 80.28%, which was nice. Permits and licenses continued its trend. We ended up collecting 119.21% of budgeted. The departmental revenue came in total at 115.2% of budgeted, with the private duty coming in with collecting $36,510 more than budgeted, and the town clerk conveyance taxes collecting $32,696 more than budgeted. For intergovernmental revenues, we totaled 103.37% of budgeted, with the equalized cost sharing revenue exceeding budget by $86,412, and the pilot housing authority revenue exceeding budget by $30,154. As I noted previously, I just kept this because you really can't see it. It's been moved to offset the expense line item for it, but the town received that additional $11,338 from FEMA for costs associated with the tropical storm Isaias. And we offset them already with the general highway repair and maintenance expense. The swimming pool fees caught up in June, highest collection month, collecting about 56% of the fees in June, and they totaled 98.69% of budgeted. The BOE tuition Hartford, the excess collection was transferred to the BOE in the amount of $80,041, bringing the collected amount to match the budgeted 100%. Special education costs collected $612,192, which was transferred to the BOE in June. And the state pilot manufacturing received $7,994 from OPM for municipal grants and aid in June. Those are the revenue highlights, which in total, like as I stated, collected 100.3% of budgeted. Does anyone have any questions on the preliminary end of the year revenues?
I just did a quick calculator adding here, and this looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, about $270,000 additional above our budget. I was very impressed with that, because it's sort of like, I know it goes back into the general fund, or the operating budget. Correct me on one of those.
It goes back into the general fund.
General fund.
Yeah. Okay.
It helps grow the general fund at the end of the year.
Okay. All right.
The undesignated fund balance.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks. That's
I'm sorry. So let me make sure I understand. So is it an undesignated fund balance?
Yes. It goes into the undesignated fund balance. Helps grow the that.
Katie's raising balance. Her hand.
I heard it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
go ahead, Katie.
So.
You froze or you're muted?
She froze.
Yeah, you're frozen, Katie.
Okay.
Is that right? And for me, that came to 125,571?
It is, yeah, 125,571. Above budgeted. That's what we came to. I'm sorry, I didn't hear your...
I don't know if I'm making the right calculation and coming to that. It's 0.3% above what we budgeted.
It is 125,000. I didn't hear your... If you had an additional question, though. No. You froze.
Yeah, no, that's all. I just thought Ken was saying something more like 250 or 270 or something.
270
so that, I wasn't sure where he was getting that number.
Well, I got it from line 3, 4, and line 5. And I was adding those together.
So I just wanted, can I ask a
go
question?
Go ahead.
I just want to be clear. So if we have, I was assuming, for example, permits and licenses brings in more. So that goes in. I thought that went into general fund.
No, it would go in, just like when we have expenses left over at the end of the year, we don't spend.
Yep.
It goes to help the undesignated fund balance. The revenue does the same. So if we have additional revenue,
mm-hmm.
that goes there and also supports the undesignated fund balance.
So if we have, all right, and so is the undesignated fund balance being used to balance off the unpaid expenses where we have overage and expenses?
No. What'll happen is, and this will at least occur in the Board of Selectmen side in September,
mm-hmm.
all those line items that have deficits,
mm-hmm.
we'll transfer money from those line items that have positive numbers to those that have a negative number.
Right.
When we get done with that, at least the last 14 years, and hopefully this year, we'll have a positive balance left over. The money that's left over goes into undesignated fund balance.
Good, that's what I thought
so,
was happening.
So that's what makes up that, say, $7 million or whatever it is that we have in the undesignated fund balance. Revenue works the same way. If we have money left over at the end of the year, revenue, we brought in additional revenue
right.
that we needed to spend, what we budgeted, same thing.
But we do the balancing first and then whatever the overage is.
No, no. If there was, at least, correct me if I'm wrong, but if, I think we checked with the auditor on this, if there was a, let's say at the end of the year, the Board of Selectmen budget was short 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd have to go and ask for that 50,000.
So yeah, the revenue and the expense is treated in a silo.
Right.
Okay? So if it's, you know, the budget is based on the expense.
Right.
Revenues is its own item. Okay. So we first balance the expense to the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Correctly, Bob. Any, you know, surplus is offset with a deficit within the general fund. Okay.
Okay.
And then any surplus or deficit would then come out of the general fund on assigned fund balance.
Right.
Okay. We haven't been over in the past, and I don't expect this year to be over or right there. I'll review that in a moment. But then we look at the revenues, okay, after that.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you for the clarification.
That incorporates the Board of Ed, okay?
Right.
Same thing on their side.
Right.
Did everybody understand that on the board? That's a clarification. In a way, I knew it, but I needed to have worded put to it. That's why I asked the question.
I'm trying to share my screen again. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Some of my system dropped.
And maybe it was a refresher course for myself. I don't know, but it gives everybody the idea that what's going to happen in the next, like September. You were saying usually we'll get the briefing for the 21-22 year. And we know where we really stand.
Yeah, I was, you know, a little early this year,
right.
And putting this together. But right now, as it stands, we have a surplus on the revenue side of the 125,000.
Okay.
Moving on to expenses, you'll see all my comments really in the previously highlighted highlights.
Right.
Because I've mentioned these many times, they have been updated to. You know, reference the appropriate numbers, but right now the end of year expenses are right at 100% of budgeted. I'm trying to see what page this is, but the very end of the Board of Selectmen budget, you'll see $564. We have had a couple small expenses trickle in, but that's the kind of number we're dealing with right now as far as being balanced the budget, which is right there.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions on the expenses?
On page four, I've got a question on the special revenue funds. Are we up to that? Can I go there?
Nope, but we're moving there, yeah. I mean, you want me to review it first, or you want to ask questions first?
Why don't you review it first, because you may answer my question.
Okay. So for the special revenue funds, I put together the comments on page four and referenced their start of year fund balances for each, so we can see with their operating either budget, their surplus or a deficit, how they would land at the end of the year. So Park and Rec started the year with $146,042 in their fund balance. This year's revenues fell slightly short of the expense, so they had an operating deficit of $2,798. But with that healthy fund balance, they're obviously fine for this year. The WPCA fund balance started with $1.325,160 to start the year. They again ended with a surplus of approximately $253,377. But they just keep in mind they use their fund balance to fund their own SIP, their own capital improvements. Sewer assessment, this was referenced throughout the year, but they started with a $24,112 fund balance, and they have a revenue surplus this year of $229,933. So they have a very healthy fund balance as well to end of the year.
That's my question. So is that part, that's managed by WPCA also, correct?
Yeah, so that's
their money. All right.
Yep. I'm going to skip to transfer station. We can talk about EMS last. The transfer station fund balance started with a $34,211 start of the year. The revenues as well exceeded expenses by $7,299, so there's no issues there. While the EMS fund balance started with a fund balance of $37,917. Currently, and we're still waiting on some collections from ComStar, but currently the expenses are exceeding the revenues by $79,177. So there will be an additional appropriation required at the end of the year, which we're all well aware of, but this kind of sheds some light on what we think that number may be.
You said they're waiting on some additional reimbursement from ComStar.
Yeah, we're trying to get
any idea of how much those are.
Just in the, I have it referenced here, $1,000. Okay. Unless something new comes up, that's what I figured it out to be. Okay.
How do we deal with billing that comes in June, but we don't collect it until August or September?
That's it. This should be the
and
way.
That's
this,
only a few thousand.
Right now, that's what we're left with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Surprise.
All yeah. Right. If anything changes, I'll obviously make everybody aware, but
We were pretty certain there was going to be a deficit there. That should be no surprise.
So if you take all that into consideration, a rough figure I think would be 76 and then minus the 37. So you're looking at an additional appropriation of about $40,000. Okay. That's what I have for the special revenue funds. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Does anybody have any questions? Go ahead.
Next month when we look at hopefully the final numbers, if they're ready to respond, I'd like to have a bigger picture for EMS for this past year and this coming year to sort of compare and make sure we budgeted right for the coming year. So can we ask, I don't know if that's you, Bob, or if you can.
No, we can go ahead and ask for it. I know we've had this discussion before, Sarah, that it's very hard to hit that target.
Yeah. I understand that. I know we talked about this when we're doing the budget. I just like if we could see the numbers laid out side by side as to what do we do this past year, what are we planning on this coming year, just so I think we're ready, because we're probably going to have another deficit, I would expect.
In the last 10 years, have we ever had a surplus? We've never had.
Actually, with EMS, we haven't always been in a deficit. That's fairly recent, and in the past the deficit was small enough that there were enough funds within that budget to pay for it, so we never had to go for an additional appropriation. Best of my knowledge, the last 14 years, I think this is the first time we've ever had to go for an additional appropriation to cover that deficit. With that said, at least for the last few years, every year VinTech has been taking up a greater and greater share of that budget. When we budgeted VinTech this last year, We based it on what their average had been up to that date. So it was based on more usage than what they would normally be using. With that said, you know, I can't guarantee whether we had enough in there to cover it or not, but, you know, it was based at a higher amount than what it had been previously. But we can bring in those numbers so you can see.
Okay, thanks. I just have something way back when it first started that I know we had to move some money to cover it, and that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it must be going back a number of years, though.
Yeah, 10 will probably be my first budget season. Okay, we went through special revenue, investment income, I guess we're down to, on page 38.
Yeah, although we didn't hit the 100%, it was at least better news than we had thought we were going to come in at previously.
Yes.
But coming in at 80, it was slightly over 80%. And we are continually moving the money around to capture the highest amount of interest because they do vary. The interest rates haven't passed down to your commercial bank.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah, I mean, we probably all see that. But it has passed down to our short-term investment fund, so we're trying to take advantage of that as much as possible.
Okay, good. I want to say, I think it was a correct idea that I know during the budget we lowered our expectations for our return. Mm-hmm. And to me, this signifies we made a correct decision to do that, that we lowered it. To be in the real world, we deal with real numbers on that, so I just wanted to point that out to the board.
As you know, it's an interesting economy, though, so I'm not sure where this is going to be 6 months from now.
Who knows? We didn't know, you know, we were going to have a freaking war either.
So, that's the investment income. I reviewed the tax collector's report at the 99.83%, which is good. And then we're talking about the fund balance prior. I have it listed here with a couple of placeholders. That's on page.
So that's 41 there?
Let's see. Yes, 41. But we should come in this range here of the 7.3332. As we discussed earlier, if there is additional revenues flowing in, obviously that number increases, but that's after all said and done with factoring in the Board of Ed as well. We'll have to see how much we add to the unassigned fund balance.
All right. Thank you very much. Before we move on, has anybody else got any questions of the information we went over? Nope. Okay. So this brings us down to number four, reports for Board of Education.
Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. So the good news is, I had mentioned to you the past couple meetings, we might have to ask for an additional appropriation to cover unexpected expenses for our repair projects that occurred throughout the year. Fortunately, we were able to find money within our budget to cover those expenses. So we will not need an additional appropriation of any amount. We're coming in just breaking even. That's how tight our budget was this year. But we will not have to ask for an additional appropriation.
Okay.
So that's the good news.
Thank you, because I remember the conversation we had here in the last meeting, the whole law.
Right. Our special ed expenses were not as great as we had projected them to be, which was good news. The bills were less that came in July than we projected.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. So that was a good strategy on our part, Mr. Casey. Okay, so that brings us down to Board of Selectmen updates and referrals.
All right, we have a couple of referrals. Which one's first, the Dispatch Council?
The Urban Grant Award.
Okay. Yep, the first is the Urban Grant Award. First off, kudos to Representative Capross DeGraw, she's the one who assisted us in getting this grant. It is a $550,000 grant to replace the dispatch console at the police station. The dispatch console has been an issue for years. We got it used in Bloomfield when we built the station back in the early 2000s. It was at its end of life back in I think it was like 2016 or 17, we came before this board looking for additional money for it. And we've kind of patched it together to try to get it through the years, and you know, it needs to be replaced. And so she was able to find this grant, and there's no match. She would be able to pay for replacing the dispatch console and set us up for, you know, years to come, which is good. And so because it's over 200,000, it would require Board of Selectmen approval, Board of Finance approval, and then it would go to a town meeting for town meeting approval. And so the Board of Selectmen has approved it. It's before you. I hope you approve it so we can take it to a town meeting where I hope they approve it. You know, the one thing I would point out, if this isn't approved, then it will be a budget item you'll see someday in the CIP. So it'd be good if we could get it out of the way now.
Okay.
With this grant.
I know, just going by past history, I am very strong endorsement of taking this grant because I've worked this since I've been on the board going way back. We've been trying to squeeze this console that's currently there. And I have an electronics background, it's done for. So, does anybody else have any questions or not? I will. Or comments about this console?
I've got a question.
Go ahead.
First of all, thank you that this is, and thank you to Eleni who helped find it, but this is huge. So this is, thank you. This is really good. The only question I have about this is there has been talk about going to a regional dispatch center. So with a brand new console, might that help us move to regional? Does it make any difference?
Yeah, I didn't, I don't know, Bob, you want to comment, but I did think about that too. But be honest with you, we've talked about regional dispatch forever,
mm-hmm.
and it just hasn't gotten any traction. I do personally believe it's the way to go. We should be there. Most states have regional dispatch. They don't have it town by town like we have predominantly here in Connecticut. But I don't see it going I don't see it going there quickly. And so, you know, I at this point, I don't think we have any choice. Does it prevent us from going to regional at some point? No. If we did go to regional dispatch sooner, would we maybe get out from having to replace it? Yes. But at this point, I don't see it happening soon enough. So I really don't think we have any option.
I think that's true. I know the Board of Selectmen would really like to go in that direction. But again, we have just not had the cooperation of surrounding towns to go with a regional dispatch. And there's money on the table to do it. But we have to have more than one willing party to get it done.
Well, I was thinking with a brand new dispatch center, does that put us in the position that we could be the center and then we might receive revenue from other towns if we do the dispatch for them?
We would have to put in a substantial investment beyond this 550 in order to have a dispatch center at that level that would accommodate enough dispatchers to accommodate more towns and start to provide that career path for dispatcher. I mean, there's a whole, there's
we
many layers
have
to dispatcher.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about this. But
yeah, there's you need multiple seats. I think we would be set up for primarily one seat, and then occasionally you'd have a second seat. But if you're going to regional dispatch, you need 2, 3, 4 seats, and we just don't have the room there.
Yeah, they don't.
No,
you don't have
be
the physical
set up to
size
do that.
In there.
Yeah, and nor would this be set up to do that.
I know many years ago when they brought that up, and that point was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'd have to reconstruct part of the police station
to
get that many physical bodies in on there if we did it.
So when we looked at this before in the farm in the valley, we always looked to probably going to Avon because
mm-hmm.
they had updated and expanded their dispatch center.
Okay. Before I move on, Katie, do you have any inputs in there? I want to make sure you're not forgotten there.
No, not at all. I think the grant is wonderful, and given the risk that we've been told about a catastrophic failure if the current one went down, even if someday we hope to go to regional, it seems like this is absolutely something we need to do now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Todd,
you said, Bob, what is the status of the radio communication system in town, putting aside two-part question, that, and then two, is there any discussion to work with the state? know that's an option for some towns, and is this compatible if we want to partner up with the state?
We could still replace the console and still use the state backbone, which is kind of one of the things that we're looking at. So yeah, it would be compatible with going with the state. We do have a study it's in fact, when COVID started, it kind of got put on hold. We need to go back to it, hire a consultant to review that. But this console would work with whatever the results of that study is.
Is that ongoing?
Or no, it we need to hire a consultant to get it going.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, not seeing any more. I'm going to go ahead and make the motion to approve the urban grant award in the amount of $550,000 for the purpose of replacing the Canton Police Department communications console, and refer back to the Board of Selectmen to set the date, time, and location for a town meeting to decide final approval.
Second.
Second by Andrew. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. It's unanimous. Pass.
Okay. The second item involves a temporary increase in police force. The Board of Selectmen has authorized this a couple times in the past, most recently in May of this year. And it's important to point out that we're not talking about an increase in the authorized force. It's a temporary increase of an officer, and then once somebody leaves, which we're anticipating, then this person would take that person's place. The reason that we asked to do this, and why we've asked to do this before, is because currently we believe the only option we have is to send somebody through the academy. And because it takes so long to get somebody through the academy and then get them field trained here, that you are literally down in person in the department for, it could be a year or more. Until this person, we recruit, we get the person, the academy opens up. The academy's only in January and June. And then by the time we get them fully trained through the academy, then they have to be trained locally for a certain amount of time. You really can't cut them loose on their own until literally a year after that vacancy. And so in anticipation of the vacancy or multiple vacancies, we want to move forward and get authorization to put somebody in the academy in January. Again, once somebody leaves, this person takes their spot. So then you drop back down to what your authorized force is. So it's an only temporary increase in your authorized force. And that's because it's different from what you did a couple of years ago. We were actually adding an additional officer. This is just temporary until somebody leaves, then they take that position. So it's not an increase in the authorized force.
Okay. First comment I have, I read through the package here and verified that you did lose an officer in May. Is that am I correct in that paperwork?
We lost an officer in May.
See the chief's here.
That person is being replaced by somebody who will go in the academy in August. Waterbury is a special academy. We were lucky to get a person in there.
Okay.
So that person will start in August to replace the person. Yes. To replace the person who left in May.
All right.
And so, that vacancy's already there. That's not the one we're anticipating. We already know about it. In fact, that one, the Board of Selectmen authorized us to try to get somebody back in May to fill that position because we knew that person was leaving. Right. Unfortunately, the person left before we could get somebody else in to replace them. And so, you figure if that person left in May, this person has to go through the academy, get out of the academy and be trained. I think March is the date in which that person will be coming out of the academy. So they probably won't be ready until like June. So the officer left in May won't have a replacement until June. So we'll be down an officer for that whole 13 months.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, because I saw that, and this is a temporary. So the next question I have is, do you know of an individual leaving within this time frame, within this year?
An individual, Chris, if you want to
sure.
Talk more on that, but an individual has indicated to us that maybe leaving as early as December.
As which month?
Early as December.
December, right, okay. So you're aware of you're going to be down then in December.
That's a strong potential, absolutely. And are also others exposed
to retirement in the near future. And that could go as quickly as the last one, who literally gave us about a 2 or 3 week notice, and they moved down to Florida to take a law enforcement job down there. And I think, like, as Bob sort of mentioned it, in May we had a chance to get a lateral. We just had no lateral applicants that were viable to come on board. We were lucky to have still a basic entry officer that was still on our eligibility list that we're able to process through in anticipation of late August start in the Waterbury Police Academy.
Okay. I'm going to let them. I have something else to say, but I'm talking too much. Sarah,
you go ahead. I listened to the Board of Selectmen discussion about this when the board passed it, and I'm still confused about something, so forgive me here. It seems to me that if you've got somebody who's left, then you have their salary not being expended because they're gone. And so you've got this money. I guess I don't understand, I think you have to pay for our new recruit while they're in the academy and while they're being trained, so we're paying them a salary.
Yeah.
Is that why we need more money? Because we're going to be effectively double paying until that new person can come on? Is that why we need more money? Because otherwise I would think, gee, you got the money.
There will be some savings. The prior officer that left was paid $91,500 a year approximately. Mm-hmm. The new person that's coming out in the end of August, when they go through the academy, plus the cost of the academy, will be about $54,000. So there'll be a savings of about $37,000.
Plus we have the 2 months when we weren't paying anybody, right?
But that's included in that. That's included in that. So there's about $37,000 of savings.
Okay.
If we run somebody through the additional in the academy in January, the cost of those 6 months, plus the cost of the academy, plus the uniforms and all things you have to pay for, would be about $45,000. So there's a difference of about, or 46,000, there's a difference of about 11,000 is the additional revenue we would need this fiscal year to bring the person on in January. That was a little higher than what we discussed with the Board of Selectmen, because we're still looking at the possibility of bringing on a lateral sooner, but we just can't get any laterals. So I think our best option to get the best candidate is to go out and go through the academy. The candidate pool is much larger. We'll have a better option maybe to get some diversity if that opportunity arises. But it just seems, I mean, we're literally having, I think, one lateral that applied for the position. That was it. And so the better option to get a better qualified, long-lasting candidate is to go through a larger pool and find somebody and then have them go through the academy. So in reality, to send somebody through the academy starting in January on this fiscal year's budget would be the impact would be about $11,000.
Now, Chief, you said that there was a good possibility that in December there would be an individual leaving the police department. Was that a retirement?
That's a retirement, yes.
Well, at least they could retire if they wanted to. Now, say they don't retire. Say you hire a new police officer in anticipation for that retirement, so that way we're breaking even on number of police officers after the retirement occurs. But say that police officer decides, I love my job so much, Canton's a wonderful place, and stays on for an additional year or two. And we're sitting at an additional police officer for that whole time period, right? Because you very hired that new.
That certainly is a possibility. However, if you look back the last 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. we've attrited about one officer per year. Okay. And again, there's sort of like a bunching of qualified officers that are coming up within the next year or so. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to keep that every year, losing at least one. Okay. I think you're going to see it actually ramped up to more than just one. You know, in the next year or so. That's my sense with everything that's gone on nationwide, all the other issues. I see it, I hear it. Mm-hmm. It's being replicated not just here, but in other police departments throughout the state.
Now, if that police officer who could retire in December, say they decide to stay on for another year for whatever reason, and then they retire at some point down to 2024, we hire the new police officer already. He's been on, he or she's been on for a year plus. We just wouldn't replace that new police officer. We would replace that retired police officer because we already essentially did a year or so prior, correct?
Exactly. That's what, the other thing I'd point out is that in a perfect world, that officer wouldn't retire until, say, the following December, because that guy we're sending to the academy mm-hmm. won't be available to then.
Right.
So that if he leaves in December, We're down an officer for a year. So
that new officer's not on his own.
Exactly.
They're with a field training officer.
Exactly. So in a perfect world, the guy might stay on for another year. It would actually, then we would, you know, we wouldn't be down an officer for that whole year's period.
Temporary just could be several months. It could be a year or two in the temporary status.
How often do officers actually stay beyond their retirement date? Isn't that almost never?
No, there's a few that in the past have stayed on. I did 8 more years with the state police and I was eligible to retire in 28 years. So there are a few. I think the ones that we've hired have all been under 20 years at other PDs, Hartford PD, at least the last two that have come out here.
Yep.
It's really the type of individual you pick. I mean, we went for about a 4-year period where nobody left.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. We're trying to get back to that stability. That's important, you know, for budget forecasting and everything else. And mm-hmm. if you do the due diligence and pick the right candidate, and we picked some real great ones recently on our basic level, they'll stay on forever.
No, I think that's great. But I think, correct me if I get this wrong, but my impression is that when officers hit that 20 years, they're at retirement, it's to their benefit to resign from where they are and then go to another department and start working there. So hardly anybody stays beyond 20 years. So when our guys hit 20, they're out of here.
They certainly are eligible. But again, if you treat this as a profession and you enjoy what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
that 20 years is sort of irrelevant because you want to do what you bought on 20 years earlier to be a police officer, protect the community. So it varies. It's individual.
Me, like the chief, you know, military, you retire at 20, but I stayed 22 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. It's a profession, it's a lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
and people do stay on. And the question I have, and I'll turn over the rest of the board here, but I want to do it because we're hot on this. So if this individual plays out, he retires in December, budget-wise, the replacement that you're going for tonight will then be taken on his budget. Okay?
But greatly reduced because of the starting salary.
Right. But so the money we need is only to pay the recruit.
Yeah, if the person leaves actually in December, then you're not going to have any budget impact. You'll be actually saving money.
Right, thank you. I was going to word it a little different, but
So I guess two things I want to mention. One is when you were just talking about the pension and 20 years and out, and that's why everybody leaves at 20. Remember, not all the officers have a DB pension plan. Many have a defined contribution plan that changed in 2002. So the newer officers don't have that. They don't go 20 years and out. And so, you know, you may find them actually staying longer because they have a DC pension plan instead of a DB pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
But the flip side of that is sometimes that makes us less competitive for recruits because they would rather go to a town that has a DB plan. So that's the drawback to that. The second thing I wanted to mention is that when we went to the Board of Selectmen, we thought the impact of this was going to be much greater. Since we've decided that we're really going to give up on a lateral and just concentrate on getting a person in the academy, the cost, like you said, is around $11,000. If that person actually leaves in December, it might be nothing. And so with that information, if we treat this the way we have with similar positions in the past, essentially we've just said, with the Board of Selectmen's blessing, go ahead and do it, and just if there is additional money we need at the end of the year, we'll try to find it somewhere in the budget. You wouldn't go out and do a special appropriation for it. And so, when we thought it was going to be, it could be 40 or 50,000, we said, okay, now we got to go to the Board of Finance and do a special appropriation. With it being only 11,000, traditionally we wouldn't have done that. You would have said, no, go ahead and bring that person on. It seems, from an operational standpoint, it seems like the best thing to do. From a financial standpoint, hey, it's not that big of a hit on the budget, and hopefully you'll be able to find it within your department or elsewhere at the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, thank you. Katie, do you have anything? I see your hand.
Just based on what Bob just said, does that suggest that perhaps this should be withdrawn from being presented to the Board of Finance, that the circumstances and the facts have changed and that you don't really need us to approve the larger amount because you don't expect it to have that budgetary impact?
Yeah, I think either you would draw it or you would just, your recommendation to the Board of Selectmen would be, we don't need a special appropriation to fund this.
Okay. All right, that seems like it makes an awful lot of sense to me based on what you're saying now. It seems silly to do a special appropriation if it's no longer necessary.
Thank you for bringing that up. I was getting to that at the end of the conversation here. It's like, well, what are you asking for?
Right.
So I'll go back to the board. Does any, the gentleman to my left, do they have anything?
No.
Okay.
No, this is just informational for tonight. Yeah, because right. When it came out of Board of Selectmen, it was looking for an appropriation.
Right, looking for appropriation.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be a larger number.
Yeah.
So and now that we're looking at the academy only, it's a smaller number. Yeah.
The only thing I'd add to this is as we get into the budget cycle for next year,
yeah.
It looks like this is going to be an ongoing thing. So if you do anticipate we'll need an appropriation for next year, let's put it in the budget.
Thank you. I was going to say.
I've had those discussions with Bob. And again, sometimes we're also beholden to the post-academy schedule. They've only scheduled two classes for 2023, or both are in the current fiscal year. So I have no idea to try to line up exactly when someone's going to leave, when an academy. We barely got into the Waterbury Academy. So it really is. It's a game of chess up to the bitter end. And now we're just ramming through getting this individual set up to start the academy in 9 days.
And I appreciate, I'm sure we appreciate how much work you're putting into this. Yeah. It's supposed to be very frustrating.
Plus, this board's getting very educated on this too. So we'll cut right to the chase here, and we're not going to make a motion. Okay, just send it back to Board of Selectmen for your action, and I'll just leave it at that. And with the understanding to the board, I'm talking to everybody, the board here. They may have to come back to us later on to cover some costs over this. And I'm comfortable with them having to come to us to ask for it. Doesn't mean yes, just I'm comfortable with them coming to ask for it. So Chief, is that good enough? We put it back in the Board of Selectmen because there's no money being asked for here tonight from us.
I appreciate the support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
A couple more Board of Selectmen things real quick. I don't know if you have anything there, but I want to mention
Hold on a second. Katie, did you have something?
No, I just said that sounds good. Sorry.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. The town did put in a pre-application notice for a possible SS4A grant, which is a Safe Streets for All grant. It's part of the federal infrastructure bill that went through the billions or trillions of dollars. It's the primary funding that will come straight to the municipality. There's a lot of rules around it, what you can spend it on, what you have to do. The amount of the pre-application grant that we're suggesting is $3.8 million. It would fund improvements to the intersection at Dowd Route 44 and Canton Springs Road. That area right there. It has to be an area that has significant safety issues. And when you look at our regional reports and where we have safety, where we've had accidents, that's one area. The other area is on Route 44. Yeah, what's that down from the shops, the name of that road that comes out?
Secret Lake, or
across the road from it.
Colonial.
Yeah, Colonial Drive. That's another area. Most of the money would be spent in the Dowd Route 44, Canton Springs there. $3 million is there, $800,000 would be at that other location. And there may be other things too in the area.
Can you do the initials for that grant again?
SS4A.
SS4A.
Safe Streets for All. I don't come up with the acronyms. That's what they what they tell me it is.
You said 3.8, right?
$3.8 million. Now, the scary part, is that it requires a 20% match. And so you figure for every million you're borrowing, that's a $200,000 match. I'm sorry, for every $1 million of the grant, it's a $200,000 match. We've had some conversations with CROC, because it's being administered through CROC, and the possibility of maybe finding other places to get that match from, especially since a lot of the work would be done on state roads. But under the terms of the grant, there is a $200,000 match. So that's why I want to let you know about it, because, you know, there could be an opportunity to do some significant improvements to our roadways, but it comes with a cost. Yeah, so.
Okay.
You know, we have.
I just did a quick math thing in my head, and it's like.
About 700,000, somewhere there.
That's such an important area for improving safety, though, because that's where we have our elderly housing. There are people who are crossing the street who need to be kept safe there, and there have been a lot of issues with people speeding along there and not stopping for crosswalks and things. So an opportunity to really redesign that road and make it much safer would make such a difference.
I don't think anybody's going to argue with you on that, Katie.
Yeah.
It's just close to $800,000 that the town has to come up with. If we do it, I'm just going to say this right off the top, we may be looking at bonding for that.
Yeah, I mean, my hope would be that there'd be a local match, and then the state would match some, since it's a state road. The other thing I want to say is that we did get approved for a $180,000 corridor study. So this dovetails with that. They're going to be doing a corridor study of Route 44 from, I think, about the center shops down to, I think, almost the Avon line. And so that whole area, they'll do a corridor study. And so what... You know, too often we do these studies, like we did one back in 2000, it kind of sits on a shelf. It would be nice if we could do the study and then have funding to actually implement the improvements that are recommended by that study. Well, this funding would help, you know, do that. So it's still kind of a long shot. There's still some of the requirements we're struggling to try to meet. There also is a huge administrative burden that comes with it, but, you know, I don't want to leave millions of dollars sitting on the table, so... We're going to do what we can to try to get that fund for those areas that's critical. Okay. So I want to let you know about that. And then the last thing is STEEP grant. We did apply for a STEEP grant for $180,000 to do the air conditioning for the auditorium. The key to that is we had already appropriated ARPA funding for it. So if we get the STEEP grant, that frees us up to spend the ARPA funding in another location.
Can I ask a question about the transportation grant?
Yeah.
There are two big developments proposed for town right now that could have a big impact on the 44 corridor. One is whatever happens to the Trout Arena property. So I don't know if you can look to the future, because it's unclear what's going to go in there. There's definitely a restaurant going in where the Trout was, but what happens to that gas station / Simsbury Access, whatever that is.
Yeah, it's still unclear. I mean, they've obviously withdrew their application.
Yep.
Well, actually, it was denied. And they have not come back with another application.
Because that, when I think about the 44 corridor, I mean, the ones you mentioned are bad. That hill by La Trotte is just a disaster. And and if something goes in there, it's probably going to need a light. It might need a turning light. It's going to need something.
That last application... that came before planning and zoning had a light with it.
It did, okay.
So they would be putting a light in. My guess is if they develop that area, they're going to have to put a light in.
Okay. Because I was thinking they could provide the match. So we could have a developer have to pay for that matching portion.
It's a possibility.
Well, I just thought I'd mention it. And then the other one is even newer, and that's the one on Daner Drive, those new apartments that are proposed for in there. That's another one that's at the crest of a hill. And at the end of Dyer, and that potentially could be just a terrible traffic nightmare. So I don't know if you can, and it's not approved, so you know it's just.
Yeah, that would be outside the scope of, you know, the grant we're looking for.
Okay, all right.
In fact, it's even outside the scope of where we would be doing the corridor study, I believe. So, and that is a smaller development as compared to some of the other ones. I mean, you know. Any development that's in your backyard is going to be worrisome.
Well, it's 45 units, I think, right?
45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's just a bad spot for it to come out on 44.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a quick question. With the 20% match for the grant, so say we got the full grant of $3.8 million, right? We're going to spend every penny on whatever intersection is fine. Now, so we would be spending the 3.8 million plus 20%, so for about total 5 million-ish.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the estimate, total estimate would be 3.8. So my guess is the grant amount will be more and we'd be paying the 20%. I have to confirm that with okay. Neil. But I mean, that's part of our issue. Part of the problem is that we're applying for the grant prior to actually having the corridor study done, because we know that intersection's bad, and it's every map we have that shows where there's safety issues, it's that intersection is the primary concern. And we have a very rough estimate of what that would cost, where some of the other applications have, you know, we're going to have 400 feet of sidewalk at X amount per foot, and, you know, we already have planned a traffic light here, and there's more details than some of the other applications. So, you know, I just think at some point we may not be as competitive as some of the other ones, but we'll do our best.
All right, thanks. Anybody else on the subject? No? Katie? You're good?
Yeah, all good.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Now we'll move down. Board of Education, updates and referrals. I do have a question here while I'm lighted, but I'll let you speak first.
Okay. Just a few things to let you know. We're getting ready for the 22-23 school year. We've had a busy summer filling vacant teaching positions due to retirements and resignations. I think we've hired maybe up to 15 certified staff members. Our last vacancy was just filled at 4 o'clock today. The tricky part is when we hire teachers from other districts in August, the district that the teacher is coming from can keep them for 30 days. So that's where the negotiations from between superintendent and superintendent come into play. So we have a couple instances where the teachers may not be on board for the first day of school at the high school level, but we're adjusting our plans, and we're thrilled that we have teachers from other surrounding school districts wanting to come to Canton. So it's a great thing. I'm thrilled that all of our vacancies have now been filled in the teacher role. We have several non-certified vacancies. These are our paraeducators and tutors that, due to our job market, we have very few candidates. We have about 10 unfilled positions there, which we need to adjust for as well. Our Director of Pupil Personnel Services, Dr. Murdica, resigned in July. She moved on to another school district. So we're in the process of hiring a new Director of Special Education. So in the meantime, we have an interim in place. We hope to have interviews the beginning of September with someone on board by mid-October. And then finally, as you're going by the school buildings, I hope you notice that we're doing a lot of work cleaning up around the buildings. You'll notice Canton Intermediate School looks so much better when you come out of this driveway and see the front of the building. A lot of the weeds and brush have been removed. We're working to make more outdoor classroom spaces at both Cherrybrook Primary School and the Intermediate School. So you'll see great improvements over the next week and a half at both buildings. We're trying to not only clean up the inside of the building, but also do work on the properties as well.
I saw that at Cherrybrook. I was impressed.
We're getting there.
Getting
there. So happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Just on the amusing side, you're trying to clean up the outside of the building. You tore out, I got a phone call, the pollinator people are very upset because you tore out a lot of ink berries. So.
I'm sorry.
Inkberries. It's a native shrub, and they were planted there to be pollinators. And
these are things that we don't know.
I understand
the history of.
Yes. So, yeah. And the takeaway for all of us is we need to document things better.
Well, and we also need to replace the shrubs that are taken out with other.
Yeah, and maybe they're in an inappropriate
shrubs.
Location too. That mm-hmm. you have that minute of that spot for them. So.
Sarah, thank you for mentioning that. I'm sorry you needed to take that call. Thank you for that.
Go ahead, Katie, your turn.
No, just I know that several of the pollinator people would like very much to work with the schools on the plantings around the schools. I've talked to a couple of them who are really excited about doing that. So we can talk about that another time. But there are people who would like to help with plantings at the schools.
That's really exciting. We could get our students involved. That would be an educational opportunity. So Katie,
yes.
Katie and Sarah, if you want to forward names.
We'll email you.
Yes, we'll work it out.
That's great.
We also just got notified about a source for free native plants that so we can get a lot of them, apparently. But we need to know where they're going to go and also make sure someone's going to water them.
Fabulous.
That's the biggest concern.
Water is.
Well, our intent was not to remove plants that benefit the environment. She's trying to clean up
things.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Students can learn a great deal from that.
Yeah.
Okay, I do have a question that I just want to get the thinking going here. You're looking for a new superintendent for the Canton schools. Or you're going to be looking for a new superintendent.
The board will be, yes. I'm here through June.
Is not here. I would actually be looking at him and asking him, but he's not here. And the question that happened, I got to thinking about it. Are we going to be having two is he going to come on with you? Is this what you're, what is your thinking? Are you going to leave like one day and then the replacement comes in the next day? Or is, you know, you're going to have an overlap of several months or half a year or something?
No. The Board of Education will talk about this at their meeting on August 23rd.
Okay.
However, the intent would be to have possibly a week overlap between me and the new superintendent, he or she. That person would, my last day will be June 30th, 2023. The hope is that person can spend at least 1 week with me for a smooth transition.
Okay, all right. I'm just thinking budget-wise, because we're going to have paying for two superintendents at once.
Right, so that's not the, okay. That's not the intent to have. Superintendents at one time.
Right. Okay.
It's not unreasonable to have a person overlap for 5 days or so.
Oh, that I understand. That I understand. Okay.
Thank you.
Good enough.
Do we know what kind of search costs are involved in that search?
Katie, that's something the board will look at on August 23rd. That will be on the Board of Ed's agenda.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tell Lou would like to see him at the next meeting.
Yeah, unfortunately, he did have his mother-in-law passed away. Otherwise, I'm sure he'd be here, so he's with his family right now.
Okay.
But he likes being here, so I'm sure he will be here in the future.
I like talking to him. Okay, this brings us down to new business. The board doesn't have any new business. Oh, Sarah?
Never being shy about this, I've got a weird question, so forgive me. I meant to email you about this in advance, I just forgot to. So P&Z is going to be considering whether to allow marijuana dispensaries in town, right? I think that's on their agenda for Wednesday. Did anybody confirm me? All right. I'm pretty sure it's on their agenda for Wednesday.
Okay.
My question is about the tax implications, because I was told, and I don't know if this is true, that 40% of the sales tax of marijuana products come to the town that is holding the dispensary. And there's a financial incentive to the town to have it in their town. And I wanted to just bring that up as a possible revenue source, because I've been told by a friend in another town where they voted in favor of it was because of the revenue. It's going to bring them, they estimate, $1.1 million every year from the tax revenue.
This is the first I've heard of. I don't know anything about it.
My understanding is that there is a tax benefit to having a dispensary in your town. I don't remember exactly what that, you know, how that formula works, mm-hmm. but there is a substantial financial benefit to having a dispensary in your town.
Right. And not having any numbers and, you know, any real hard facts on this, I wonder if we as a commission wanted to take a position to P&Z and to say, you know, if it's a financial benefit, we think it's a good idea or not. Because they're looking at do we want to have this in Canton? And what kind of traffic is it going to generate? What kind of, you know, who's going to come in from out of town to this? And the fear is you're going to be bringing in the quote unquote wrong kind of people. But they will land somewhere. These stores are going to go somewhere. And if we get it, we get the tax benefits. If New Hartford gets it, they will get the tax benefits. It's probably going to be close to every third town will have one. And my feeling was, my personal feeling is, I think it could be well located. P&Z is going to be careful about the areas that could go. and have good traffic flow, and I'm confident they could do a good job at that, and I just assume have the revenue kept in camp, personally.
What?
So.
Oh, Bill?
Just one piece of information. I believe it's one dispensary per 25,000 of population.
Okay.
So if a Bristol gets it, depending where it's located, you know, whether Canton would be eligible, or the next town will be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the radius of already
the population.
Those towns that have something in play, maybe.
This is new information, Sarah, to me.
Yeah, true, it's premature. I apologize. I don't
right,
know
that's as far as the tax benefit, yes, I've always preached it. They're going to grow it and tax it, should have it here, and then sell it to everywhere else in the state of Connecticut, so we get the tax benefit. But I don't think it brings in the riffraff, because I know up at Great Barrington there's one right next to the McDonald's, and it's very safe to go to that McDonald's, and their dispensary is about where that wall is.
There's some empirical evidence.
Yeah, exactly. So, thank you.
I believe that the pricing of those products. I've never actually been inside of one of these stores, but I've heard that they're rather pricey.
Yes. Yeah. So it's, I don't think the riffraff is going to show up.
Yeah, this is not my concern. I agree with you, but that's the concern that's been voiced to PNC.
Right.
Is people are concerned about what it might attract into Canton. I personally don't agree with that. I don't think it's an issue. But I was more interested in, if there's tax money to be brought in, bring it. So
I'm not going to say no to it. They're going to come into town.
Right.
I don't think the board needs to take a stance on this.
Okay, that's why I brought it.
The gentleman here, or Katie, if you want to put your opinion in that, I don't think we need to.
I don't think we need to either. I mean, see what the planning and zoning does, but I agree. I would like to see some additional tax revenue come in.
Yeah.
But I mean, whether that brings in the riffraff or the wrong crowd, however you want to phrase it, I couldn't tell you either way. And if people who say it will bring in the wrong crowd, do they have evidence of that in other towns? You know, have other towns experienced that? You know, additional crime rates, maybe in that general area, overall additional crime in the town. If they think it will, then I would welcome to see the evidence that other towns have experienced that problem who already have dispensaries.
Katie, you still there? Just want to make sure.
Yep, I'm still here. I'm fine. Yep. But we already have liquor stores. I don't really see any difference or reason why the impact on the town would be any different.
Right. Okay, thank you. All right. So this brings us down to the approval of the minutes. First one up is June 20th. That was our special meeting we had with the training about the freedom of information.
I move that be approved as written.
Okay, Tom, is that you?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom, second that one. Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Abstain.
Okay, that's right. One abstention. Katie, I didn't hear you.
I said aye, sorry.
Okay.
I said it very quietly.
Thank you. Okay. So we have one abstention for the 5 votes yes and one abstention. Okay, so brings us down to the second one, which was the Board of Finance meeting that night. For those attending, do we have any comments? Or do I have a motion for approval there?
Move that we approve the minutes from that meeting.
Okay, I'm gonna make it, Z-Man has approved it, and you're gonna be second, Katie,
okay.
On that?
That work.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's a vote. We have 6 approvals on that one. You were at that meeting, right? You weren't the first one.
No.
Yes, I missed the special.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, just want to make sure.
Yep.
Okay, and then the rest of the package is in the formal information for the selectman meetings, for the education meetings. Then we have down here in item 10 is our upcoming meeting is September 19th. Heads up, this is 2 months from now. This will be the tri-board meeting at 6:00. We'll have the tri-board meeting here. And then following that meeting, we'll have our regular board of
finance meeting. So before I close it, is that done? Everybody finished? Okay. So I'll take a motion to close the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. So closed.